now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How you feeling out there, man? Everybody all right? Everybody okay? You survived the new year? We made it once again. Shouts out to you. Congratulations. Thank God. Thank the ancestors. Thank everyone that had a hand in getting you here today. So what we're going to do today, man, I want to talk about a little bit of football. Because it's that time. It's playoffs, man. Like, it's not just NFL playoffs. It's college football playoffs. And I want to get into some of that. What's going on in NCAA football. I want to get into the NFL and what's going on with the football that's about to take place in front of us. I want to get into all of that. But first, I want to thank my good people at Coffee and Kush, who's our partners in this podcast business. I also want to thank my sponsors over there at Greenwood Whiskey. Yes, sir, Greenwood Whiskey. Be sure to go to greenwoodwhiskey.com. They're available at certain retailers in Oklahoma and in Georgia, but it's always available at www.greenwoodwhiskey.com. Go check them out. Buy you a couple bottles because one is not enough. Yeah, man. I was sitting there watching some of this football, sipping on a little Greenwood, enjoying myself this past week. Also, while I'm here, also want to send a shout out to my producer and engineer, Young Reese Boogie. And not just because he's my son or because he's sitting here in front of me, but it's because just yesterday, if you don't know, I sent a little message out. Follow me on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon, or you can follow him at this is DJ Reese Boogie on Instagram and now on Twitch. So what happened? Young Reese participated in 50 hours of spinning for 50 seats of winning. And basically what it is, it was a group of DJs. You had everybody from DJ Jelly. He was in a group conversation with D-Nice. Brian Michael Cox was a part of this. It was DJs galore, and Reese was in the mix. And so what happened was, it was a DJ-a-thon, if you want to say so. 50 hours of spinning for 50 seats of winning, and basically it was encouraging everyone to get out and vote. And it was led by the campaign of John Ossoff, Reverend Warnock, and Daniel Blackman. And so he went on yesterday, which was Monday. He was on live Monday at 7 o'clock. He went on Monday from 7 to 8, and he did his thing. And so I salute him and tell him that I'm proud of him and what he's doing in this game. So, with that being said, Reese, yeah, you all right? With that being said, hit my intro to I Told Y'all and My Bad.
It's time for
yeah, alright. It was right, I was wrong.
Told y'all, y'all better believe it.
Yeah, so I told y'all, man, that this was going to be the football playoff edition of
Commissioner's
Conversation. And sticking with that, I'm going to tell y'all, I told y'all last that Notre Dame didn't have no damn business being on the field with Alabama. Man, listen, Alabama scored 21 points in the first 18 plays. Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? Devontae Smith was flying past everybody. They couldn't control him. The young man should be up for Heisman. He may not win it. I'm not sure. But he should be up for Heisman. He's flying past people. You had Najee Harris leaping grown-ass men like he was Vince Carter out here about to put his arm in the rim. Bama wound up essentially winning like 31-14. But if you watch the game, you know they let up off the gas. And it's funny because at the end of the game, that's kind of like what pissed Nick Saban off. You know, so look for them to come out laser focused against Ohio State. And but as far as Notre Dame goes, man, I told y'all, dog. And Brian Kelly's out here trying to say that it's not a thing, but it's definitely a thing. You guys come up short in the big game all the time. Not some of the time, all the time. And now that you're in the ACC and you're playing an ACC schedule, they're not a juggernaut. That's not a heavy hitter conference. Yes, you got Clemson when Clemson was down, but they came back and smacked you in the ACC championship. And that should have been a tell-all right there. But no, like I said, the name was Notre Dame, and they are going to be placed above others in terms of privilege. And Alabama ran them out of the stadium. Who told you? Yeah, I told y'all. Also, man, I told y'all, man, that Justin Fields is a top-notch quarterback. Like, and this, everyone's pointing at a bunch of different games this season. I think because this season was so weird and all the things that was going on, like the Big Ten wasn't going to play. Then they played and they jumped in late. So they only had so many games. And then you couple that up with everyone talking about Trevor Lawrence and he's the greatest thing to throw a football since Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. And I think the dude kind of came out and pressed a whole lot this season to try to show that he was as good, if not better, than Trevor. And I think that may have, you know, when you force the issue, you don't always succeed in what you're trying to accomplish. So I think he pressed a lot. You know what I'm saying? But if you watch this game against Clemson, man, and you didn't say wow, I don't think you like football. Because I sat in a room with a bunch of my friends, and we watched this man get hit in the back of the ribs. And I'm assuming he broke his rib. I don't think they put it out just yet, but I think he broke his rib. And he went out a couple plays, and I'm just, like, you could tell he was in pain. He was down for a long time. You could tell he was in pain. Like, he didn't want to get up. They were showing videos of him. He couldn't get on the exercise bike. He was throwing on the sideline, just him making the throwing motion. He was grimacing. It was hurting. It was killing him. Man, but, like, I know. He went to the back. They probably gave him one shot in the little tent on the sideline and then gave him another shot at halftime. But they shot him up, and he came out. He was still in pain, but he wasn't in as much pain. But the man came out and threw darts. You know what I'm saying? He threw touchdowns. And him along with my man Sermon, they couldn't stop Sermon either. But him and Sermon, you know, they put Ohio State on top. And I was here to tell y'all that Justin Fields shouldn't be treated as the others. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody came in the season like it was Trevor Lawrence and the others. And I was like, nah, wait a minute. That ain't what it is. It's Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence are in the same class. And I think that he's shown you that when he came out and performed the way he did in the semifinals against Clemson. And hopefully he can repeat the performance, because I'm sure he's been in pain all week and he'll be in pain all this week. But I hope he can repeat the performance as he takes on Alabama in the national championship, because the Ohio State Buckeyes are definitely going to need him. But I told y'all, Justin Fields, top-notch QB, man. In that same vein, though, I got to say my bad. Yeah, because I sat here last week and I told y'all I thought Clemson was going to beat Ohio State. I really did. Like, I thought it would be a close game, but I thought Clemson would take the game. But man, these boys had something to say. I think all throughout the game, they showed you the training room where they had the scoreboard up where Clemson beat them last week, and that's all you would see as you lifting weights, as you go through meetings, as you sit in the room, and you know, and coaches talking to you, and behind him is telling you that last year Clemson kicked your ass, and at some point in time, it's got to eat at you, dog. You got a revenge factor in your brain that's crazy. So they went out there, and like I said, my man Trey Sermon had a hell of a performance. Justin Fields had a legendary game. This one was for the ages. And they went out, they beat Clemson 49-28. I thought it would be a close Clemson win. Ah. Everybody ain't right all the damn time, man. Get out my face. My bad. Also, in the world of NFL, I have to say my bad on some predictions that I made earlier in the season. So as we got into like week one, week two, and Russ was cooking, he was doing his thing, and they had the phrase, let Russ cook. I jumped in with it. I was like, hell yeah, Russ going off. Russ for MVP. Not so fast. Yeah, as of lately, Russ has been okay. You know, I think the offense has been a little pedestrian, a little average. I won't say pedestrian. Pedestrian would imply that it's very slow and not going very fast. But I think it's been average. But not good enough to continue to have Russell Wilson in the MVP race. So if I had to, honestly, if I had to pick my particular MVP, I would say Aaron Rodgers. But you know Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. You know Pat Mahomes is going to be there. And you can't forget about King Henry. Derrick Henry is a monster. Shouts out to him for reaching 2,000 yards, man. That ain't easy. And if you watch the Titans play football, he makes it look easy. Because those boys, them boys don't want to hit him, boy. They get out, he catch that corner, and he just the same size as the DNs. They don't want to square up. Not at all. But I thought it would be Russ that we would be talking about for MVP this season. And we are not. So, my bad. Also, man, I thought, it's killing me. I thought Cam would perform better than he did. I predicted that Cam would probably get the Comeback Player of the Year award. I could not have been further from the doggone truth. Cam looks terrible out there, man. I watch him skip passes and skip passes and skip passes, man, to wide receivers. Nah, they weren't particularly open, but we could have talked about that if he was hitting them and they wasn't catching him. You know what I'm saying? We could talk about how he didn't have anything around him if he was on his job, if he was doing what he was doing. His mechanics suck. So the passes suck. And so everybody's blaming this season on Cam, and it ain't Cam, but he's a part of it. He's not the whole of it. But I thought he would be Comeback Player of the Year, man. Was I wrong? My bad, man. You're asking me who probably will get Comeback Player of the Year? Well, obvious. I think that's obvious. The Washington football team keeps trotting out Alex Smith week after week, and he's still standing, even though he did kind of re-injure himself. But ESPN is showing like the 30 for 30 special, and it's pulling at everybody's heartstrings. So Alex Smith is probably going to be your Comeback Player of the Year. And I mean, I salute him. It's nothing against Alex Smith. I salute the man, because going through what he's gone through and coming back and being able to play in a football game is admirable. Like, big salute, double salute to Alex Smith. But yeah, man, I thought Cam would be that guy, and my bad.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, have you guys been to a party, a cookout, or a family gathering, anything? Well, I know, as of lately, we couldn't really do all those things that we aren't supposed to simply because of social distance guidelines. But I'm saying, think about it. Usually when you go, have you ever gotten there and looked around and you look like everybody else? Like, you look like everybody else, not because y'all related or nothing, but because your shirt is like his shirt, and his shirt is like his shirt, and his shirt is like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody looks the same. Like, yeah, y'all, all you and all your friends, you may all have the same style, but also because the clothing designers aren't coming up with anything original. They aren't coming up with anything new. That's why I encourage you to shop with my people at 323 Custom Apparel. Yeah, they make whatever you want. So if you like wearing hoodies and you want to have your favorite slogan on the hoodie, they got you. You want some shoes and you want to have your J's look better than his J's because y'all might have the same J's and you want yours to stand out, they got you. So check them out. Go to Instagram at 323_custom_apparel and make your clothing your statement.
Commissioner Gordon.
Last week I told y'all I wasn't going to pick any games because it was week 17 and all kind of crazy shit happens the last week of the game. I told you that, right? I told you. All I do is go out here, I pick these winners, and later on I'm going to try to pick some winners for the playoffs and we'll see how that goes. But I told y'all, man, I'm not going to go out here and just call a game because I would use logic on how I would think the game would go, and logic goes out the window in week 17. Thus, bringing me to the Washington football team against the Philadelphia Eagles. And I just want to say, as fans, we always talk about tanking. You know what I'm saying? Because we feel like, as fans, if my team isn't going to make the playoffs, we need to lose as much as possible so that we can get this draft pick. Because we want this quarterback, or we want this DN, or we want this, you know what I'm saying, whoever. We want those guys. We want to get the best possible guy for our squad. And so we say tank all the time. But then you hear all around, everybody else says, well, there ain't no tanking in the NFL. You can't tank in the NFL. You go out here and you tank. Your players get hurt, and your people in jeopardy, and people lose their jobs, and all this, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm here to tell you, as I reference back to Sunday, these folks tanking. So, I'm going to fast forward through the first game, through the first half of the game, but it's like the end of the third, so all the way to the end of the third quarter. It's fourth and goal. Third quarter now. Fourth and goal. Philly is down 17-14. Common sense says, kick the field goal, get you three. Tie the game. Let's go win this thing. Fourth quarter. Everybody put the fours up. Fourth quarter. Well, that didn't happen. Philly went for the touchdown. And I wonder what, I honestly wonder what would have happened had Jalen Hurts connected the touchdown. Like, had he completed the pass. But regardless, they didn't complete the pass. Pass is incomplete in the end zone. Fourth and goal. Turnover on down. Right? Washington goes down and punts, whatever. But Philly gets the ball back. And they're in it. Like, you saying, okay, Philly's still in it. They're still only down 3 points, whatever. You can get in this game and you can win. But then all of a sudden, you look out there, and Jalen Hurts is not in the game. Huh? So, me, just watching the game, I'm like, okay, Jalen Hurts ain't in the game. They must, you know, trying to get a little spark or something. They're going to put in Carson Wentz. And then I'm looking at them like, wait a minute. That ain't Carson Wentz. Who the hell is that? These folks put in, I'm going to say these folks. Coach Peters, he's taking the blame for it. He said it was his sole decision. But these folks put in third string QB, Nate Sudfeld. I'll agree with you because the collective who probably went around just then. Nate Sudfeld. Sudfeld. I don't know how. Maybe that's Sudfeld. I will call him Sudfeld. Sudfeld hasn't thrown a pass in an NFL game since 2018. Right. And he got in, and guess what he looked like? Like he ain't thrown a damn pass since 2018. His second pass, he threw a pick. And you could just tell, like, and I'm sitting there, and I'm texting people because I know Philly fans. I got a bunch of people that I know that are Philly fans, and I got a bunch of people that I know who are Washington football team fans, and I'm laughing over here, and I'm like, damn, dog, over here, as I'm texting to the different guys and groups. I'm like, what the hell y'all doing? And I'm laughing on this side, like, what the hell they doing? But I'm noticing the body language on the sideline. Like, they keep panning to Jalen Hurts. And you can see he mouthed one time. Like, he kind of gave the side eye and he mouthed. He said, this ain't right. Wait a minute. That's what made me stop and really, really, really be like, wait a damn minute. Like, he mouthed it. I'm pretty sure he said it out loud. But we couldn't hear it because he wasn't mic'd up. But you could see him saying, this ain't right. And on the field, you can see it. Like the body language of the team. Like the team had just quit. And I guess they did because, hell, the coach quit. You know what I'm saying? So, and so a lot of stuff is coming out later after the game. Like, apparently Jason Kelce went up to Coach Peterson and asked, like, and kind of pressed him, like, what are you doing? Are you not trying to win? Why is he in the game? And then with that, like, I saw a play where Kelce really did not make a block. I saw another play where Zach Ertz kind of, like, he put a little bit of hit on Chase Young, but it wasn't like he wasn't going all out. It was like, since coach quit, hell, we quit too. And that's dangerous, like, really. Coach Peterson put Sudfeld in a messed up position, because I'm pretty sure it's nothing against him. It's against the premise of we're tanking. But when they asked Peterson about it, he pretty much tried to say that he was coaching to win and he still had his starters out there, but he wanted to see what Sudfeld can do. And I'm here to tell you, bro, that man knew what the hell he could do. Lose. That's exactly what he was going to do. He knew what he could do. He's been on the team for 4 years. You knew what he could do. You didn't need to see any extra work. What could he have possibly have shown you that would make him like, hey, you know, this guy might have a little future. What could he show you? Absolutely nothing. But he did what you wanted him to do. And that's how I know that tanking takes place in the league. That's how we all know. So when y'all trot that myth out of, no, you can't tank in the NFL, I'm just going to point to this one. Because this isn't the only instance. Like, there have been times before when you could say there's been strange substitutions. There's been times before when franchises have organized a roster that you knew they couldn't win nothing with. They just put some guys together because it's a salary, not like just like there's a salary cap, there's a salary floor. So they put guys together so they can meet that salary floor. So they say, hey, we spending the money, you know, we got a team out there. But we all know, elbow, elbow, wink, wink, we ain't trying to win it for real. We ain't trying to win no games. So don't tell me that tanking doesn't take place. The players are probably going hard because, yes, they don't want to put bad tape out there. The players are probably going hard because they are actually playing for a contract. But some of these people, coaches, executives, who feel comfy in their position, in their job, oh yeah, they don't give a damn about winning.
Commissioner Gordon.
But on a lighter note, you want to know what the epitome of leadership is and what it looks like, man? You want to know how to get your guys to jump through hoops for you, ride for you as a QB or as any position? Like, check this out. So I set the scene. Seattle has a lead. It's less than 30 seconds on the clock. They're playing against the 49ers. They got, like I said, they have the lead. Our logic says either you're going to run the ball or you're going to take a knee and just run the clock out and you win the game 26-23. Well, Russell Wilson got with the QB coordinator, I believe, and they threw a pass to wide receiver David Moore. Now, throwing this pass to David Moore gave David Moore 35 catches on the season. But why is that so significant? Well, the 35 catches gave Moore $100,000 bonus in his contract, because he needed 35 catches to reach that 100,000 bonus mark. And like, while we sit here and we look at NFL players and we think like, oh, 100,000, dropping the bucket, he probably go out and buy a new Range Rover, whatever. No, David Moore is a guy who probably, I think if I looked it up, I think he only makes like $825 for the season. So $825,000. You know, he doesn't have one of those huge contracts. Yes, it's way more than you or I make. But in terms of contract and NFL contracts, it's not very large. And that $100,000 pretty much gave David Moore a 12% increase in his income. And I thought that was just dope because, like, to have the wherewithal to say, I want to get my guy this catch so that he can hit his number, so that he can get his bonus. That's cool. Like, do you know what I would do and how hard I would go? You couldn't say nothing bad or nothing negative about Russell Wilson around me. That man just got me $100,000. I might hit you in your mouth if you say something bad about Russell Wilson. But Russell Wilson was quoted after the game as saying, yes, like it was intentional. He was quoted as saying it was a blessing to be able to help his family and his daughter and all that stuff. We wanted to get him that catch. We were able to dial it up for him on that last play. And he was basically saying that he wanted them to get the play to him earlier. But as the flow of the game dictated, like, you know, DK Metcalf was open, or somebody else may have been available open. You know what I'm saying? So it just didn't allow for that to happen. But then to think, as time is running down, like, hey, man, we got to do something for my boy. We got to make sure he's straight out here. That's love. That's a leader. Because it's a lot of people out here, man, that try to find things to hate on Russ for. He's not this, he's not that. I remember there was an attack about him being black enough or whatever. You know, or how, just because of how he looked, or how he, you know, how he portrays himself in the media. But Russ is the real one in my book, dog. Like, I would assume he would have done the same for Tyler Lockett. I would assume he would, like I said, do the same for DK Metcalf. I listened to a podcast It was a Bleacher Report podcast. They talked to a T.O. And part of his thing for the animosity between him and Donovan McNabb basically stemmed down to it. He probably got in his feelings a little bit. We all know T.O. is a little sensitive. But T.O. was basically saying that when they asked McNabb about Brian Westbrook's contract, he was an advocate for him getting paid. But when it came time for T.O. to get paid, he really didn't say too much. And then when they did ask him, he basically said he needs to hurry up and get into camp. And so T.O. made the point of, I'd rather you not say anything. I'd rather you not, you know, because you don't, technically you're not supposed to talk about another man's money. You know, you don't have your hand in another man's pocket. But if you're going to advocate for one guy to get paid, why wouldn't you turn around and do the same for another receiver? And this is taking it beyond that, what Russ did. Russ not only ensured he got paid, but he went out of his way when, like I said, if a turnover happens there and they lose the game, that's on Russ and like the QB coach. They have to eat that. But they risked that to turn around and make sure that a teammate gets paid and gets the money that he deserves. So, salute to Russell Wilson. And that's how football should be played, as opposed to what we just talked about with Doug Peterson basically tossing the game in the trash can.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, I have learned my lesson. I got a little, some steak upstairs that I'm probably going to go up, and after we get off of here and having this conversation, I'm going to go and I'm going to throw on the grill. But like I said last week, I've learned my lesson. I am going to season it up with some of these sweet tea sauces, man. Yep, sweet tea sauce. Especially if you have, like, for the steak, you got to go with the vinegar and chili sauce. It's great on beef. If you got any chicken, you got to go with the mustard sauce. It's great. You got to do it. You got to try it. All you got to do is go to smokedpfc.com. Smokedpfc.com. That's SmokedPfc.com. Or you can check them out. If you just want to see what they have, you can also check them out on Instagram. That's at SmokedPFC. Same way. SmokedPFC. SmokedPFC. So, like I said, I told you about the chili and vinegar. And I told you about the mustard sauce. But they also have new sauces on the way. If you go to the... If you go to Instagram, or you go check them out on the website, they'll hook you up. SmokedPFC.com.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, now that we've gotten week 17 out the way, man, I think it's safe, as I look around to make these predictions again. So, well, before I do that, I want to do college. If I have my choice for Heisman, I would pick Devontae Smith. I just want to put that out there, and I will say that. I believe the special is coming on tonight. So after, you'll probably be hearing this after the Heisman has been picked. And if I was right, I told you. If I was wrong, you know, my bad. You know, it happened. But I think he would get my vote if I had a vote. So Devontae Smith, here's hoping that you, sir, win the Heisman. And I know I shouldn't do this considering the fact of what I saw this past week with Ohio State, but I'm picking against them again. I told you last week I thought Alabama was going to be the national champion, and I'm doubling down on that right now. And we'll see what kind of condition Justin Fields is in. When it comes down to it, I can't imagine he'll feel great, but I'm sure he'll be in playing shape, and he'll go out and he'll give it his best effort. But I believe in the end, it won't be enough to sustain Alabama and the Crimson Tide. I think they just have too many weapons, offensively as well as defensively, for the Ohio State Buckeyes. And so that is my national championship prediction. Now, in the NFL, it's playoff time, and we got the wild card division coming up. Look, we got games on Saturday and on Sunday. So it's three games Saturday, three games Sunday. If you're an NFL fan, like I'm an NFL fan, I'm telling you, all you got to do is get you a couple bottles of those that Greenwood whiskey. You sit there, you sip, you watch football, you talk trash to your to all your partners, and you have a great time and enjoy yourself until the wife makes you do something like take out the trash or, you know, paint the walls, whatever. But have you a good time, man. Listen, it's like I said, it's three games Saturday, three games Sunday. So Saturday, you got the Colts and the Bills. Should be in Buffalo. I'm going with the Bills. In the NFC, you got the Seahawks and the Rams. I'm taking Seattle. The other NFC game, you have Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the Washington football team. I'm taking Tampa Bay. On Sunday, the Baltimore Ravens are going to take on the Tennessee Titans. Whew, tough game. That's going to be a hell of a game. I think Lamar gets his revenge for last year. I am going with the Ravens. I didn't say that confidently, did I? Because I'm not too sure, but I'm going with the Ravens. I will say it confidently this time. After that, at 4 o'clock, you have the Saints hosting the Bears. I'll take the Saints, but I need somebody to beat them shortly after this, because I can't be having the Saints winning the Super Bowl. I can't have that. Trust me, I don't want that. You don't want that. I don't want that. Most importantly, nobody wants that. Back to the AFC, where the Browns will be taking on the Steelers, which is a repeat of what happened last week. This time, Big Ben will be playing, and I'm going with the Steelers. Yeah. So, I'm taking the Steelers. I'm taking the Saints. I'm taking Baltimore. I am taking the Buccaneers. I'm taking Seattle and Buffalo. Those are the predictions. Like I said, as always, man, if you agree, you disagree, you just want to send a shout out, you can follow me on Twitter at G Robinson Sports. Also, you can follow me on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. At the.commissioner.gordon. I try to keep you updated as much as possible with what's going on in the news. Sometimes I miss a couple things. Check out my stories. I always try to put a little something up there in my stories. Check out the post. Like I said, comment, like, holler at me. And I thank you. I thank you for tuning in. I thank Reese. Once again, salute to you, sir. You do an outstanding job. And I appreciate it. Until next week, I holler.
Commissioner Gordon.
Okay, bye.